You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and we are going to be talking this... Man, we had another Daredevil trailer drop. We had the Civil War, the big Civil War trailer drop this week.
Yeah.
I know, right? And just tons and tons of stuff going on, plus a good episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and good to have them back. So, how's it going with you, John?
Well, you know, I tried to read the Sokovia Accords, and let me tell you, it's a good cure for insomnia.
Really? Really? Cool. Yeah, there's so much. I guess we can just dive right into to the trailer. So, anything, what did you think? What did you expect to see? What did you not expect to see?
You know... I expected to see a lot more fighting. I was really anxious about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a training seminar for municipal clerks all week.
Ugh.
Well, not all week, but at least the last couple of days. It felt like a week. So, you know, I'm waiting for noon to strike, and we're in a course. I'm like, let's let this end. And then, you know, I had problems with the internet in the hotel. So... it was worth it to finally see it, like to be able to go outside, just get on my phone and just watch everything all the way through, especially up to the end.
Oh my God, yes. It was awesome. I was almost hoping that they were just going to show the shield get yanked off and you could see the spider and they were spider webs and then they were not going to show him. But they did.
No, but we got Spider-Man in his full glory.
Yep.
And we got to see all that flipping and tumbling that Tom Holland has been doing in his backyard.
Yep,
off.
All that stuff he's been showing off with. Yeah, it's funny because I've been asking other people online, and it's not just me. I'm not the only person who thinks that it looks like he's kind of CGI there more than just the eyes. But other people are saying, no, that's 100% just dude in the costume, so...
Yeah, I mean, the eyes might be a little bit, might have a little trickery to them, but, I mean, we've seen several videos now of him trying out these jumps and flips.
Sure.
So we know he can do them, and he's probably got a little wire help that's kind of been edited out.
But... yeah, absolutely. That's not so much what was wigging me out about it. Part of it is just the way that the light sort of like shimmers off of the fabric. Just looked kind of weird to me. And also, you can see, like, the musculature in his shoulders, and normally that's not something you can really see through spandex. That's, like, more of a makeup kind of thing. But it's certainly totally possible, and either way, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a little enhancement there, but it's probably not that much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, if I hadn't watched it over and over and over again, I probably wouldn't have noticed those things because it would just, you know, like in a movie, it just goes by so fast. But after watching it over and over, I was like, what's going on with that? But yeah, lots of great stuff. We can see. We started out with showing
right.
Ross talking with the current Avengers team, basically showing them all the times when they blew stuff up. There's a
to their credit. I mean, those things that were mentioned weren't well. All right, one was actually Cap, and
yeah.
The other two were more the bad guys causing the problems.
True.
Although you could argue that Sokovia basically wouldn't be a crater if Tony hadn't decided to call all mad science.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. But still, you know, they were still there and people still died. But I was wondering, and several people have affirmed that it was T'Challa in the in one of the early scenes where there's a building blowing up, that's actually him that was there. We get to see a cool underwater base, which is awesome and super cool.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably, or at least people have been speculating, and I kind of agree with them, that it's probably going to be the raft.
Uh-huh.
The raft is basically in the Marvel Universe. It's on an island, but in Manhattan, but it's a superhuman prison.
Okay.
In the comics of Civil War, there was actually an interdimensional prison called 42 in the Phantom Zone. Hmm. Or not the Phantom Zone, the Negative Zone.
I was going to say wrong universe, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the Negative Zone. And that was actually developed by Tony and Reed Richards, the latter of whom is obviously not going to be in this movie.
Of course, yeah. No Reed Richards, at least for now. We'll get him back someday,
yes.
Damn it.
Hopefully.
Yes. We got some really good action shots of Black Panther, which was awesome.
Yes. Leaping over cars, slashing out motorcycle tires.
Yep.
And obviously he's a lot more bulletproof than Quicksilver was.
Indeed. Had some, let's see what else we got. God, there were just so many things. There were some other good fight scenes, like there's something where it's obviously Black Widow and Vision, and,
Well, it was Scarlet Witch and Vision.
I'm sorry, yes, my brain's not functioning. Yes, Scarlet Witch and Vision.
There was another moment in the fight that really, if you were a comic fanboy, just made you jump with glee.
What's that?
When we see Ant-Man
on the arrow.
The arrow, which is it's a famous cover from Avengers where they're doing that.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually Scott Lang strapped to holding onto one of Hawkeye's
uh-huh.
arrows, and it just the cover just says somebody's gonna get it.
Yes, perfect. That was awesome. Even I had heard about that, even not having seen the comic, just because as soon as we got Ant-Man, everyone was saying, when's he going to be on an arrow? Because that would be great. So yeah, that was
awesome.
They
did not disappoint.
Indeed. Like, such, and I'm glad that within, it seemed like 15 minutes, people had memes of this up, but Cap going, I could do this all day, and then people have showed him in the first movie saying that, and it's like, oh, it's heartbreaking.
One of my favorite memes to pop up since, though, are usually with Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
and one was, he after, like, the one shot of him having taken the shield,
mm-hmm.
then Cap,
Yes, I know what this is going.
You know, it quoted that wherever the one with the Sea Pirates movie,
right?
It's like, look at me, I'm the captain now.
Yes, that was great. Yeah, that
the
was
other great one, and I posted, and somebody in our Facebook group posted as well, but of a Daily Bugle headline.
Yep.
With Spider-Man steals
Spider
shield
Thief.
From aging veteran.
Yes, Spider Thief steals relic from aging World War II veteran. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The menace!
Indeed. And there was another great one about that shows J. Jonah Jameson, you know, raising his fist to the sky and saying, I leave for the DC Universe, and then you get pictures of Spider-Man. So, Indeed.
Yeah.
But
so we might want to talk about that while we're at it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because J.K. Simmons now is famously going to be another comic book character with Commissioner Gordon
uh-huh.
in the Justice League movie. So it's incredibly unlikely now that he's going to reappear as J. Jonah Jameson.
Well, you know, it is, but at the same time, you know, it's probably not, just given the amount of time in between. You know, if you look at our Batman in that was our Daredevil, 10 years ago, not to mention, you know, Green Lantern and Green Lantern and Deadpool too. So people do switch universes sometimes. But
that is true. I mean, and it doesn't preclude somebody from coming back either.
Right, right. So it could happen, but I'm not super optimistic about it. But, you know, as I feel like no one could possibly replace him, but I'm sure that there are people. So anywho.
Yeah, I think we could find a few good options. One guy I was thinking about turned out to be dead, and I forgot about it, but...
Whoops.
Yeah, we can resurrect him. We can rebuild him. Make him better, stronger, faster.
Right, right, absolutely.
Anyway.
So, other things with Civil War. We had Robert Downey Jr. made a comment about this being sort of like his Iron Man 4, which I think is... It's good and bad. I want for this to be Cap's movie, you know, 100%.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it's basically Cap and Tony's movie. And I think that definitely implies that we're going to be getting to see, you know, see a continuing character arc for Tony. That it isn't just that he's, like, showing up to be the bad guy.
Yeah, and Tony still really wants to be, like, the protector of the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We saw that kind of go negatively for him in Age of Ultron, and it's probably going to continue thus in Civil War, but hopefully everything will come out for the better. I'm kind of rooting for Tony, but I'm also, to a certain extent, rooting for Cap, because how do you pick a side, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Between the two characters.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I love about what they're doing with this, is that it's not clear-cut that, well, obviously, you know, because almost everybody I talk to is like, oh, no, I'm totally Team Cap, I'm totally Team Cap, and, you know, he's for the little guy, and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's true, but there's also such a thing as accountability, you know?
Right. And, I mean, we had some in Avengers with S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
but as we're going to discuss later, S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of underground Black Ops now, and
right.
not really responsible for the superheroes that are popping up
right.
everywhere.
Exactly. And, you know, and I've waxed lyrical on and on about how interesting I think Tony's story arc is, and the fact that... You know, he's at the point where it could go either way. You could either see him as being, you know, a full-on, you know, base in a volcano supervillain, or you can see him going back to the good guy's mm-hmm. side. And I see this as being him trying to get back on the side of good, but just the way that he's doing it is not going to make a lot of people happy.
Right, because Tony recognizes it. He screwed up last
time. Oh, yeah, definitely. Another wrinkle that we've got that has been implied in some of the other trailers, but it seems like it's pretty much right out there in this one, was it looks like Bucky shoots down Rhodey, and it looks like Rhodey is dying.
It looks like that, but, you know, especially in trailers, appearances can be deceiving.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, we see Bucky with just a sniper rifle.
Right.
Which isn't going to cause that kind of damage to Iron Man armor.
True. You know, unless he got the arc reactor or something. Mm-hmm. But something causes Bucky to go, not Bucky, to Rhodey to be falling out of the sky uncontrollably. And even if he doesn't die, it's certainly implied that you know, Cap's best friend tries to kill Iron Man's best friend, and that's not good. That's not going to go over well.
Yeah, no, and I mean, like I said, we don't know that it's him, because mm-hmm. we could still see, you know, we could find out maybe it's Zemo.
True. That he's shooting at, you mean, with sniper rifle?
Well, I mean, we could find out that it's Zemo who causes Rhodey to go down.
Yes, that's totally true. And that's an interesting point, because we really haven't... He's one of the few characters that we haven't seen at all yet. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen... We've seen a tiny bit of Crossbones, and we haven't seen anything of Martin Freeman.
We haven't seen that much of Sharon either.
That's true. So there's lots of characters that are going to be in there that we haven't seen yet. And
yeah, and they've said that that really, or at least I read in one source that Zemo and Freeman are really setting up more for later movies.
Right, absolutely. You know, obviously the main conflict is going to be the two teams of good guys going up against each other. But at the same time, you have to have somebody else to fight. It's my understanding that Crossbones is probably going to be there at the beginning for the scene that's in Wakanda, and that trying to take him down ends up being what causes all the devastation that kicks everything off. So,
I'm going to share something with you really quick because it's kind of neat. Somebody took the Batman versus Superman and the Civil War posters and overlaid.
Yes, I saw that, and so yeah. That's an awesome shot. And as is appropriate, Civil War is more prominent in the front because it's going to be.
Yeah, and
awesome.
You kind of got the True Justice in the American Way on one side.
Yep.
And, you know, the rich guys with money on the other side.
Yep. Exactly.
That was pretty cool.
So that was very clever. I like that a lot. They're also saying that, and this is just kind of weird to me. They're saying there's going to be a 15-minute long IMAX sequence.
Yeah.
That's weird.
We got a big battle going on, and nothing against a smaller theater that doesn't have IMAX, but you know, those are some big screens, and we're going to be able to see a lot of what's going on. Whereas in a normal theater, you might be able to see just like maybe half of that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, first of all, when I think IMAX, I think the gigantic theaters that, you know, like you have at museums and stuff.
And you know, you got one of the big ones down there in Atlanta, and most of us just kind of have normal-sized IMAX.
Well, yeah, but the giant IMAX screen that I'm thinking of is not the one that they have at the movie theaters. The ones that they have at the movie theaters are just big movie screens. They're not like the...
one like at one of the malls, isn't there? Because I remember going to see, you know, The Dark Knight, and the screen just being as huge as the ones that you go to for museums.
The screen that I saw at Atlantic Station wasn't that big, but now that I think about it, there may be a gigantic one up at Discover Mills, which is a little bit north of Atlanta. That may be what I'm thinking of.
That might have been it, because we didn't go completely into Atlanta.
Right. That's probably what that was then. But anyway, it's my understanding that, you know, that they're hoping to do Infinity War 100% in IMAX, and that this is kind of like a proof of concept to see if it would work for that.
That might be okay. I mean, let's face it, I'm going to go see it in IMAX anyway.
Yeah.
In 3D probably, and I'm just going to show up $35 and close my eyes and think of the MCU.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, actually, when I went to see Age of Ultron the first time, I was in an IMAX 3D theater, and it just, it looked like there was something wrong with the film, and I was getting really queasy, and finally I was like, okay, I've got my glasses on, I don't know what's wrong here, and I finally went out and said, look, can I get a ticket for another showing? And they're like, why do you have on those glasses? Those are the ones for regular 3D. So I was like, oh, sad. But anyway, now I know.
Knowing is half the battle.
Indeed. So another thing that came up was at least, and I'm wondering where they're going to have time for all of this, but they're going to also be exploring a little bit about Scarlet Witch's background, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing that another source has said about her is that we know that her powers and Vision are linked.
Because they
were both created by the Mind Stone.
Right.
So we're going to see a bit of that interaction between how his kind of mechanical systems and her powers work. And we already saw a little bit of that in the trailer when she's kind of making him kind of kneel down.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I think, I want to say, was it 2 hours and 38 minutes? I
saw 226.
Maybe. Anyway, it's in the 2.5 hour ballpark, which
is
longer.
Yeah, it's going to be their longest movie yet.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm crossing my fingers. It just seems like in a movie like this, it's going to be very, very hard to give everybody a cool moment and still have time to talk about, you know, Scarlet Witch's background and enough, you know, story between Tony and Steve and all that. But
well, even going back to what Anthony Mackie originally said when they were filming, is that this is essentially Avengers 3.8.
Right. Right. Exactly. So anyhow, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, definitely. We did have another Daredevil trailer drop as well.
Yep.
Which was cool.
Yes. I mean, I can't wait. It's you know, another week until we get this.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go back and rewatch season one.
Uh-huh.
Just to get myself prepared.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm stupid excited because I'm actually going to be in Florida on spring break, so I can totally stay up and watch it.
Yeah, that's like the thing where I'm debating, do I ask
for
off
a vacation
from work early
day?
That
yeah.
day?
Yes.
Can I leave at noon?
Indeed, yes.
I can't say why. No, I've got a boss who's very understanding, and so he might actually be okay with that.
That's good. That's good. I don't, but I've already put in for the vacation time, so there you go.
You're on spring break anyway, so.
Well, yeah, but I'm a 12-month employee, so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm expected to be there even when the students aren't, so.
But you can make the argument it's like there's going to be nothing to do.
There's actually going to be tons to do, and I'm going to be doing it in Florida, even while I'm on vacation. But anyway.
That's
anyway.
Not vacation.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Netflix.
Oh yes, speaking of Netflix, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got a premiere date for Luke Cage.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in
about
6 30. Months.
Yeah, wasn't that about the same time that Jessica Jones came out?
Jessica Jones, I think, was November.
Okay, yeah,
wrong,
yeah.
Because it was, I remember watching some of it over Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that again, that took me a while. I don't think Luke Cage is going to be as harsh.
Oh yeah, but, I hope not.
But now that we have the news about Finn Jones, which I don't think still has not been like made official by Marvel.
I don't think I've heard anything from them, but but yeah, that would be awkward, wouldn't it? If it turns out it's not him, but
it's like, well, that's gonna suck. But you know, the rumor is that hopefully he's gonna pop up
right.
in Luke Cage, and
mm-hmm.
that'll carry over into his own series.
Because Mike Coulter was the first person who said that he had been cast, right?
Yeah, Mike Coulter said that he had definitively been cast, and Marvel just hadn't said who yet.
Right, right. Well, and specifically that Danny Rand had been cast, but not specifically that Finn Jones was going to be playing it. So, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who do you think we might see for other characters? Obviously, Claire would make sense.
Yes.
But who else?
I mean, Misty Knight could show up.
Mm-hmm. Who's
we
that?
Know that she. Well, we know that she's going to be in Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
She is kind of a private detective of her own. Sometimes, kind of a like a rival to Luke Cage for his Heroes for Hire business.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually been part of Heroes for Hire herself.
Mm-hmm.
She has a partner usually with her named Colleen Wing,
mm-hmm.
who's likely to show up, I would think. The Steel Serpent is kind of an antagonist for Iron Fist and Danny Rand,
mm-hmm.
and he's tied into the Crane Mother, who we believe Madame Gao is.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he's likely to show up, and him and Madame Gao is the main antagonist for Iron Fist.
Uh-huh.
One rumor that I'm particularly excited about, and the thing that we think might be bring a little bit more diversity to this show is the possibility of having Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Shang-Chi is a major martial arts character from Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
He is actually the son of the fictional, like classic literature, Yellow Peril villain Fu Manchu,
who I don't think we're going to end up seeing.
We probably won't see him in that respect, and apparently, like, Marvel lost the rights.
Oh, really?
The license to use the name Fu Manchu.
Oh, wow.
So, she's gone by other names in the Marvel Universe, and he's incredibly long-lived. He takes a potion to keep his life extended. He's always searching for power.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Shang-Chi is Fu Manchu raised Shang-Chi to be kind of like an assassin for him,
mm-hmm.
and basically fed Shang a bunch of lies that he was a good guy, that the people that he was sending Shang out to kill were evil men.
Right.
And Shang discovers the truth at one point and then decides to bring down his father's empire.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of cool stuff. And of course, as of right now, we know that, we're going to have Punisher in Daredevil, but we haven't really said anything about, and I'm assuming we're going to get more Madame Gao.
And I love the character posters that we've seen,
yes.
where we actually see John Bernthal in the long kind of black coat,
yep,
with
yep.
The skull body armor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, so we know that we're going to have him, but it will be, mm-hmm. they're doing a very good job of not telling us too much. And that's one of the things I've really liked about the Netflix series, is they've given us enough to be interesting without giving anything away at all. You know, things like, if you think back to the Jessica Jones ones, you know, there was the one of her walking through a bar full of people that she, you know, knocked mm-hmm. out. And there was the one that just had, you know, creepy David Tennant voice going, Jessica, and stuff. So, they're I think we're going to have plenty of surprises in Daredevil.
And I definitely hope that we get some trailers for Luke Cage soon. That would be fantastic. I mean, we know they've been filming.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised if we got those, you know, sort of a little bit after Daredevil comes out. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned something else about Spider-Man earlier.
Yeah, I started to. What is her name? There's a young lady who
Zendaya.
Was cast. That's it. Yes. Woman who has been cast for Spider-Man, but we're mm-hmm. not really sure what she's playing.
Yeah, we don't know who she is yet. I mean, she's one of these Disney Channel actresses who came up, and now she's a very popular singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of with that background and her attitude, she might make up for a very good Mary Jane Watson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy are, of course, the ones that we're already familiar with. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if she's one of those characters, or if she's somebody else, or... But
as far as at least love interests go, there's not a lot of people of color mm-hmm. in Peter's life.
Mm-hmm.
The two main love squeezes, of course, are the two main romantic interests for him are first Gwen Stacy and then Mary Jane Watson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's dated a few other people. He had a relationship with Black Cat, so maybe, who knows? Maybe Zendaya could be playing her in this,
mm-hmm.
but we don't really know yet.
Yep. And she and Tom Holland are both 19, so definitely it's like the next generation of Marvel heroes, which is pretty cool.
You know, one thing about Spider-Man is I've certainly seen the complaints about the outfit,
mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen. Nerds are going to complain that everything is not absolutely perfect. But
isn't that the pretty close to what the Mike Ditka version was?
Well, I think you're thinking of Steve Ditko.
Steve Ditko. Yes, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, you don't know. Ditko came up with an outfit, but it didn't look quite as good.
All right.
but it's a lot like the Ditko outfit. It's also a lot like the way John Romita drew Spider-Man, kind of with the smaller lenses. And we can see them in the trailer that they can change size, get bigger or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and that is something that, of course, he'll squint in the comic and it'll get smaller.
Right.
But, and I don't know, I'm not too terribly thrilled with some aspects of it, like the big arm coverings
mm-hmm.
and the very tiny spider logo, but we've got time before his movie comes out. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, if this is the suit that Tony gave to Peter... Peter can certainly tweak it in between now and his own movie.
And I thought there were some cool things, like on the boot, on the legs, it looks like, you know, like there's like these little chevrons above where the top of the boot area would be. And I thought that looked pretty cool, but...
Yeah.
But haters gonna hate.
They're likely going to change it anyway before the movie because they want to have new merchandise come out.
Right, right.
Like, we haven't seen it yet, but there's obviously going to be Spider-Man merchandise that's going to be part of Civil War.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of which, something that is a subject that is near and dear to my heart is that, of course, I am a collector of female action figures and have a gigantic, well, not compared to some people, but I have a respectable size collection on my mantelpiece in my living room. And as everyone who has ever tried to find those knows, it is not easy.
No.
And the vast majority of the ones that I've gotten online, because you just don't see them in stores. And, of course, it's been a very big big deal lately with when Age of Ultron came out, and then again with Where's Rey back when we had Star Wars, that we are not getting a whole lot of merchandise with female characters. And it's a very long and complicated thing, and if you're interested in that kind of thing, I highly recommend listening to the Needless Things podcast with the Phantom Troublemaker, because he knows, he is the man when it comes to toy stuff. But there's a lot of reasons for it, but most recently there's just been a huge outcry about the lack of merchandise. And
right.
And some of it has been made up for by independent producers. Like, for example, if you go out to Amazon, well, for one, I think they're on, like, their fourth version of Black Widow as a Funko Pop, so that's pretty cool. But it's been hard to find things like t-shirts. If you have one that has all of the Avengers on it, it's all of the Avengers except Black Widow. Like, a lot of the stuff I've been like, oh, but there's like four or five different t-shirts out. And I didn't realize those are all in adult sizes, because, of course, I was looking for adult sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends have said, yeah, my son or my daughter wants to get a Black Widow t-shirt and there aren't any. So anyway, long story short, or not very,
more Natasha merch.
Yes, there's going to be a lot more Natasha merchandise coming out this time around. She's going to be included on t-shirts and all kinds of things like that. So it seems like they have finally gotten the clue, because there has just been such a huge outcry over it.
Yeah. And speaking of merch, I about a week ago ordered all three of the new Lego Captain America Civil War sets that have come out.
Awesome.
And it's the Black Panther pursuit, the Crossbones heist, and the airport battle.
Cool.
And so I put all those together in about a period of maybe like 3-4 days.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really, like, I really like them. I love the, like, some of the new figures we get, like Falcon. Crossbones isn't as impressive, but Black Panther definitely is.
Awesome.
The new Scarlet Witch figure. We get Sharon Carter as part of it.
Awesome.
Another one that was a little disappointing was the kind of War Machine, because they give him one of these new, like, little stud blasters. And I'm not a fan of those. I mean, they might be popular with the kids, but for older collectors like me, it's like, what am I going to do with this? This doesn't even look like an actual blaster that I would ever use.
Yeah.
The only other really disappointing things, for one, they did not change the Captain America or the Black Widow figures at all.
Okay.
They're exactly the same as they were from Age of Ultron. Even though they're clearly, like, there are some subtle differences to their outfits, but they're clearly different than they were before. And the main reason definitely for me to get these were the figures, because, you know, it's with Crossbones you get a Humvee. You get a Jeep with the you know, the Black Panther pursuit that Steve drives.
I'm looking at the Falcon figure now, and he is cool looking for a Lego.
It is, and it comes with a little Red Wing that attaches to his back.
That's
like a
awesome.
Drone that he's going to have in the movie.
That is super awesome.
Yeah, but some of it's just like, okay, the airport battle. You got an airport tower, you got a baggage cart. Yeah, that's not terribly exciting. The best thing about that set, out of everything to me is the Giant Man figure.
Yes, yes, that is going to be awesome.
Giant Man is definitely buildable. He's probably about six times the height of the average Lego minifigure when you get him done.
Awesome.
His little faceplate like flips down so you can see him smile underneath.
Awesome.
The Black Panther jet is one of the coolest vehicles that I think the set came with. It was really fun to build. It just, you know, you make it, you want to go through the air with it.
That's awesome.
Same with the new Quinjet. And it's actually like I have the other two, and it is the smallest one yet. So I've got almost like in a like a non chronological order of the Civil War Quinjet, the Age of Ultron Quinjet, and then the Avengers Quinjet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You gotta take some pictures of these at some point so we can put them up on the Facebook group.
I mean, you can feel free to. I've got them on my personal gallery, so you can steal any of them that you want.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, that was a whole lot of news. We should probably.
We had a big news week.
We did have a big news week. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have slain many dragons. We are the Polyhedron Society. We have braved the depths of Gallowspire. We are the Polyhedron Society. We have maintained the masquerade. We are the Polyhedron Society. We shot first. We are the Polyhedron Society. And we aim to misbehave because we are the Polyhedron Society. The Polyhedron Society proudly presents its actual play RPG podcast. Tune in each week as we immerse you in one of many stories through the art of collective storytelling and role-playing games. The Polyhedron Society has decades of gaming experience, and we use that experience to create rich characters and lavish stories.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe, and now we are going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., our first back since the hiatus, called Bouncing Back, which I think is probably a reference to one of our newest Inhumans that we got this week.
Yes, we did. We got a number member of the Secret Warriors, Elena Yo-Yo Rodriguez. In the comics, she is part of the Secret Warriors group that Fury... arranges to fight back against the Skrull invasion. And in this, of course, she's still got her same powers, her super speed powers, which are interesting in the fact that she can move about 180 meters per second as long as it takes for one heartbeat, and then she snaps back to her original position.
But she can do a hell of a lot in that time.
She can. I mean, we see her take guns from people. We see her knock out Mac.
And of course, just because I'm a nerd about this kind of thing, I was thinking, well, wouldn't she have a higher heart rate anyway? Because she'd be in, like, a stressful combat situation. So wouldn't that mean she can do less in combat than she could if she was calm?
it's
comic book science. Just go with it. Yes, it's comic book science. Exactly. Yeah, that's fine, though.
Maybe she moves as fast as the average person's heartbeat.
Fair enough. But yeah, she was really, really cool, and it sounds like she is potentially going to be a member of the team, but it was not looking like that to begin with.
Because at the end, Daisy decides that she's going to kind of let people live their lives, and, they'll call on them as needed.
Which is a big change, and I guess that part of it was at the beginning of the season. I think Andrew was probably partly driving that idea of not letting people go out into the world or whatever.
Yeah, probably because, of course, he wanted to keep them contained so he could kill them.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking back to the beginning of the season with Joey and, you know, the fact that, you know, that was a really big deal for him when she's like, yeah, you can't ever go back to your family. And now it's like, well, actually, maybe you could. So he's going to have a lot of explaining to do, presumably. I'm guessing he had a job, and I know they said he had a boyfriend and everything, so that's going to
be... Yeah, and of course he's got his family, and, you know, he talks about Sunday dinner with his mom.
Yep. So that's going to be... I'm sure it will be good, but it, you know, is going to be definitely awkward. So so there's that. But, man, we had a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk a little bit about Coulson, because we mentioned last week Clark Gregg saying about how Coulson was kind of in a dark place and everything,
right.
And he was being like all regular back to being the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he was like, oh yeah, and then now let's completely torture Von Strucker, and everyone's like, okay, and I was like, what?
Well, at the same time, though, you know, when he realizes that that Strucker is stuck in his moment of pain and torture, from what put him in the coma,
right?
You know, he gets Luke Mitchell. He's like, I need you to kind of like use your powers to snap him out of this.
Yeah, and that makes sense and everything, but I was just kind of amazed because and I guess you can rationalize it by the fact that, you know, he was saying, you know, please just kill me before they hooked him up to the machine, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because and we see him in his flashback and he's saying
he's being tortured.
So
right.
he's trapped in that traumatic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, like, even though it's of course ethically questionable what he's asked, what Coulson is asking Luke to do, mm-hmm. ultimately is something that is helping him move past that. Yeah, Lincoln, sorry. Mm-hmm. What he asked Lincoln to do is helping Strucker move past that trauma.
Yeah. I mean, I loved that character, and I was sorry to see him go, and it would be wonderful if he could come back and be part of the team, but I was just... It seemed like a very Jack Bauer thing to do, you know, like, we have to find out where the terrorist is, so we're going to torture it out of you, basically.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, when President Ellis gives you the directive that you're a black ops group and he doesn't really want to know what you're doing, you're kind of at liberty to do what you want.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, there's no question that they had the liberty and the right to do that. But I just think that you know, season one, season two, Coulson would have been a little bit more hesitant to do that. Because, and for me, that's the thing with it, is that all that he does with the information, rather than, you know, I was thinking, oh, he's going to have some big plan or something like that. He basically just goes in and goes, ha ha, we're tracing this call, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he even tells Malik, we're tracing your call.
Right, which who, first of all, who does that? Why do that? But it just seemed like there wasn't any point other than to go, haha, and that just does not seem like a good spy tactic to me. I don't know. I mean, I was hoping that there would be more to it than that, but it just felt like a very petty kind of thing on Coulson's part. So
maybe that's just kind of a giving no crap Coulson.
Could be.
Or giving no fracks Coulson.
Giving no fracks Coulson. Yes, I think that's definitely true, but that is not, he's not thinking, at least to me, he's not thinking strategically, and he's not thinking like a director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So the whole thing just concerned me a little bit, that he's still kind of off the reservation and doing his own personal vengeance thing. As opposed, I mean, not to mention the fact that when, I mean, it makes sense, but saying, oh, I want to meet the president in the place where my girlfriend died. I mean, that's just
obviously
cold.
They can't meet at S.H.I.E.L.D.'s headquarters, and they can't meet at the White House.
Right.
Gotta find somewhere.
Yeah, I guess, but it just, just gave me a icky feeling about it, but. But anywho, we had, let's see what else. We had another new Inhuman introduced, which it looks like from the previews we're going to have again next week. I know you were looking IMDb. Did he have a name or?
I mean, his name on IMDb is Lucio.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, the closest comic counterpart I can think of is a guy called the Grey Gargoyle,
mm-hmm.
who can turn people to stone, but there's a few problems with that, because that character is French.
Ah, okay.
And also does it through touching people as opposed to looking at them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've made some changes, and this just could be something completely different, but it was definitely an unexpected power for our heroes to run into, so that was kind of awful for them.
Yeah, and the discovery that the Colombian police might be a little corrupt.
Yeah, although I don't know, that just seems like that should not have come as much as a surprise as it did, but anywho. Another thing we've got going on, of course, is Ward, and he is, mm-hmm. I gotta give mad props to Brett Dalton, because he was super creepy and so completely not at all like Ward. It was very clear that was another entity there.
Yes, the speculation about what his powers is, apparently he might have the ability to control Inhumans or,
mm-hmm.
you know, do the kind of wherever the Kali Ma, you know,
mm-hmm.
brainwashing.
Well, is it that, or I know that Hydra had like a dozen of them, and I wasn't clear if that was supposed to be like his new army, or if that was supposed to be his snack time, or what the deal was with that.
There certainly looks like they're trying to build an army of Inhumans, and
mm-hmm.
You know. Lash kind of took care of most of them.
Right. We still have Iron Ninja Chef guy.
Yep, and of course they snapped up Lucio at the end.
Right, they did. What do you think is going on with that thing where he kind of reaches out and there's like sand going all over the place at the end there?
I don't know, because we see like obviously on the planet... Mm-hmm.
He can make sandstorms. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's probably how he devastated that world.
But I'm wondering, because they've confirmed that he's Hive, so I'm wondering if that's something like where people breathe in the sand and they get like, you know, like turned into Autobots by his mojo or whatever that is.
Yeah. No real idea with that, and maybe we'll see next week what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was definitely creepy, and I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, I gotta give Brett Dalton props, because that was super creepy.
Yeah, I mean, just the look, his voice, everything mm-hmm. about Hive was absolutely like
and great makeup,
you know, skin crawling.
Yes, great makeup on him and everything, just mm-hmm. super wig me out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one other significant thing is at the end they made a pretty clear point of pairing people up, which was interesting. We've got Fitz and Simmons sort of saying let's go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and, reset.
Yep, and it looks like the intent there is definitely for them to get together. Like
mm-hmm.
Gemma does want that now, apparently.
Yes.
But
especially
so that's
no more Will.
What's that?
Especially with no more Will.
Yeah, with now that Will is no longer an option, she'll take Fitz. Yeah.
Right.
But so there's that. Daisy and Lincoln just randomly started making out in the hall. So that was apparently a thing.
Well, I mean, they kind of.
I guess they had
together before that. But
yeah, I guess so. But it just, I was just like, what? Where did that come from? But he's now saying, because she was like, hey, if you want to go back to your real life, you're welcome to. And he's like, no, I think I'll stay here. So
and she's like, I was hoping you'd say that. And then kissy kissy.
And we've got obviously we've still got a tight platonic friendship between Coulson and May, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they never make that a romantic thing, because I think they are awesome just as buddies.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've seen plenty of Whedon shows, there's always at least like a male female platonic relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's cool. And it was interesting that it seemed almost like there might be something between Mac and Yo-Yo there.
Yeah, you know, it seems like they have a moment, and she actually uses a little bit of English with him.
Right, right. Yeah. And they're just kind of, I don't know, making eyes at each other. But
yeah, it's definitely a new ship somewhere on Tumblr right now.
Indeed, indeed.
It can go right next to Justin Trudeau and Barack Obama.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That was cracking me up today. But actually, that's a good thing to take us back to.
Right.
Of course, she wears a crucifix necklace, and the very beginning of the show appeared to be in like a Quinjet in like low orbit or something like that. It was, you know, very low gravity. It looked like there was blood in the air, and there was a crucifix necklace floating in the air.
Yeah. I mean, may not necessarily be hers, but certainly likely it features quite prominently with her costume.
Yes. And what I'm wondering is if she and Mac get together, if she ends up giving him that or something, and then he's the one that gets blown up because...
And we can't do this once a season, Whedons. We gotta let somebody of color live.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly where I was going with
that. You can't kill Henry Simmons.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they don't go that way. But anyway, so we'll find that out. And that's, I'm trying to think. I think that... that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be wrapping up towards the end of May, right?
Yeah. I mean, we know it's going to go through Civil War, and Clark Gregg has said that it is going to be a major shakeup for them.
Okay. I would imagine so, either way. I mean, the whole Sokovia Accords is certainly going to impact Daisy and Lincoln and anybody else that is in that boat. So
although apparently Civil War doesn't really acknowledge all the Inhumans that are popping up,
but still, I mean, even you know, if they're underground and they're not known, it presumably would apply to them as people with powers. But anywho,
hey, we've got that new situation with the ACTU and General Talbot as the as the public face, while S.H.I.E.L.D. is operating behind the scenes to capture, contain, or, you know, recruit Inhumans.
That's going to be an interesting dynamic when you've got the person in charge of the Black Ops team is actually over the person who's the public face.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they have such a wonderful working relationship.
Yeah, there's that too. But
I do love Coulson's line, like, now I know you're lying to me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, the president said something like, well, he has the utmost respect for you. and actually, we didn't even mention that. Yes, we had another crossover from the movies with the president. Was it President Sandler, something like that?
It's Ellis.
Ellis,
President
that's
Ellis.
It. That's it.
Yeah, it was great to see him again. I mean, we saw him in a video clip earlier this season, but we really haven't seen him since Iron Man 3.
Yep. So that was very cool. I guess oh yeah, just to go back to Coulson finally.
We got a new hand.
We got a new hand, which was awesome. I loved the little bit with him you know, going to do his phone call and they do the metal detector and he's like, "Oh, let me take my hand off."
Yep. There.
But yeah, that was very cool. You know, Clark Gregg doesn't have to wear the glove anymore, and now you don't have to if you're going to cosplay him. So there's that.
I kind of want to. I mean, you know, it's still noticeable.
Sure, sure, absolutely. But they had a really neat moment at the end there where I forget how it led up to it, but something like he said, you know, I don't know what this means, and she said, it means you're the cavalry now, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, so they kind of understand each other.
Yeah, but, see, for me, the cavalry is, you'll do what you have to do to save people, whereas what he did to Ward was really, it was an act of personal vengeance.
I think from May's perspective, being part of the cavalry means making a really hard decision, you know, regardless of what the reason was.
Yeah. I totally see how it is that from her point of view, it's making the tough choices. It's doing the, you know, being the person who will kill somebody so that other people don't have to have it on their conscience or whatever.
Right.
But it just seemed like there's a very, very big difference between what she did in the episode called The Cavalry and what he was doing. Because
you can certainly argue that.
And I am arguing that, damn it.
I know, I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, Ward had obviously hurt several of the team members in very personal ways. If he was kept around, he was likely going to keep doing it.
Well, and not to mention the fact that May certainly had it in for him because...
May's got it in for him, Hunter's got it in for him, Bobby's got it in for him, Coulson's got it in for him, Gemma's
Sky,
got it in for him. Yeah, everybody has a reason to want him dead.
Although the big thing that she was mad at him about was she thought that he killed Andrew, and that didn't happen.
Right.
But yeah, so that was a neat little scene there. So all right, so I guess time to do ratings. Are we doing shields? Are we doing bionic hands? Or
I guess we're gonna do shields.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll give this one a 4. You know, it didn't do as well as in the ratings, but I thought this was a good way to bring back the series from its hiatus to establish a new status quo, both for Shield and for Hydra. And you know, I want to see where we are going forward.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a good episode. There was a lot going on, and so it definitely didn't drag, but it also seemed a little bit disjointed to me. There was just because there was so much going on, and there wasn't really the time to. You know, we had a good moment between Coulson and May, but that was one of the only kind of catch your breath moments.
Yes.
Everything else was going so fast that I felt like we didn't really get to feel the gravitas of some of these situations. I'll go with a 3.5, but it was a very good 3.5 for me. And I'm looking forward to of course I'm a big action person, and we had a gunfight. But I'm looking forward to another May, Bobby style duking it out fight sometime soon. So hopefully,
I mean,
we'll
you
get
may
those.
Get it because next week with Inside Man, we get the Absorbing Man coming.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Although with the Absorbing Man, that's not somebody you really want to punch.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're definitely going to have to come up with something. And I love it anytime we get characters coming back. So so that's very cool. All right. I guess that's about it. Coming up next week, I'm going to have a little bit of news for you guys about what panels I'm going to be doing at MomoCon this year. The wonderful Darius Washington has been very accommodating in helping me to do some panels that are not going to conflict with TimeGate, which is the same weekend. So
again this year.
Well, they were different weekends last week.
Well,
maybe it was
like it was 1 week was TimeGate, the next weekend was MomoCon.
Yep. Last year they were off by 1 week, but they're back to being on the same weekend this one. But yes, I am going to be doing both conventions at the same time, which is going to be exciting. But I'll have some more news for you guys about that next week. And until then, we will see you later.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.